Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to the 33rd Psalm, Psalm 33. It has been my practice during the last five summers to be walking through the Psalms during the summer months, and we pick up where we left off last September. Psalm 33, context having to do with creation, having to do with God's move and God's provision in creation. And then in verse 12, the psalmist seemingly caught something of the excitement of what God was doing, and he proclaimed, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And this morning I thought it was appropriate that this is where we would find ourselves as we are celebrating our country's 126th birthday, and then across the border in the United States, the 4th of July, they are also celebrating the country's birthday. I want us to look seriously at this text because it has to do with what we are facing in our nation today. Last Sunday night I spoke on why we need to pray for Canada. We needed to pray for Canada, as we said from the text last Sunday night, because of the crumbling foundations. Everything that we used to believe, that used to make us what we are being taken away one way or another, and the foundations which kept the building going for over 100 years are beginning to crumble. We need to pray for Canada because of the confusion of the family. Family life is under attack from every section, as you and I know very well. Heard some more statistics this morning that would just floor you if you would understand that this is taking place in the country where we live. And we need to pray for our country because of the care for the future. That word care is anxiety. Because of what we're doing today, we have nothing to look forward to. We are sowing to the whirlwind and the wind, and we'll reap the whirlwind, as the book of Hosea teaches. But this morning I want to look at a different part of that. I want to look at what makes a nation happy. You know as well as I do, you have only to drive in your cars and to get to a stoplight and look to your left, and you see some of the most unhappy faces that you can think about. You don't know what happened if they had a bad day the day before, going to a job they don't like, home that there might have been conflict in, I don't know. So whenever I get to a stoplight, I usually try to smile. I don't want people to think that I'm unhappy. I don't want them to get the wrong idea of life, but my friends, there is almost nothing to be happy about. Everything, I listened to the news last night deliberately, and just about everything I heard in the news was bad. Destruction. 300 people on a ferry in the Philippines to their death like that. A policeman up in Northern Ontario going to investigate a case was stabbed to death. Someone downtown Toronto walking across the street was hit by a car, and on it goes. Is there anything that can make us happy again, that can make us smile, that can make us laugh? Even the jokes are no longer the kind of jokes that truly make us happy from within. Psalm 33 then begins at verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his inheritance. And then down in verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Blessed is the nation. Literally, the word is happy. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know as well as I do, friends, that you and I can never be happy unless we have certain things in place. I call it the prerequisite for happiness. I don't know the history. Perhaps you can tell me better than I do. That Casa Loma, that beautiful castle down in downtown Toronto, was built for a wife who thought that if she would have the biggest home in Toronto, she could be made happy. I don't know whether that is true, but she got it and she never was happy. I looked in the I Don't Buy It, I Never Will, the Global, I think that's what it's called, those magazines that you can read for free when you stand up at the checkup center. I looked at one yesterday. Lonnie Anderson and Burt Reynolds getting a divorce, and she wants $15 million. Wow. Why? Because she wants to get even. Almost all the relationships that we know that we used to adore, from England to America to Canada, there seems to be a lack of happiness in the lives of people. What then, my friends, do we need to truly be happy as a nation? Let me suggest to you, first of all, for a nation to be happy, a nation needs conviction. A nation needs conviction if a nation is to be happy. Listen to what the psalmist says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I have chosen two convictions that are necessary if a nation is to be happy. The first of these, my friends, is a nation needs conviction in the providence of God. Whenever the word God is used in the Old Testament or New, it is always relating to God's creative power. It is always relating to his omnipotence. That is, that God is all-powerful, able to do whatever he wants to do, and can be restricted by no one or by nothing. So when the psalmist says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, he is thinking of the providence of God. What is providence? Providence in creation, my friends, that long before creation came into being, in the mind of God, it was determined that there was going to be a creation. In other words, creation did not come from nothing. We like to say that God created creation out of nothing. Well, that's not really true. God created creation out of his own being. God said, let there be, and there was. And so the psalmist is understanding here, my friends, that by the providence of God, that is, in the mind of God before creation existed, God determined that there was going to be a creation, and he determined what was going to be the government and the laws that would keep that creation intact. And then when that time came, those forces were put into place. And so when God said, let there be, there was. And everything we know as it is today came into being because there was a time in history, in human history, when God brought it all into being. Now, I don't have time to go into providence for you. But providence, my friends, is not only that God brought into existence creation out of himself. Providence suggests to us that God continues to preserve creation. I wanted to see something that became very important to me as I was studying for this morning. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, God is speaking to Moses. And in verse 15, he says this, and God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, Jehovah. This is my memorial name unto all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God, in providence, he brought into existence creation. In providence, he preserves creation. Psalm 36 and verse 6 says this, God preserves man and animal. Jesus Christ, the scripture says, hold everything in its place by the word of his power. Were you thrilled this past week, friends? As those astronauts whirled around the earth, and then there was a certain time when they said they could not come down because the weather was not the best. And so they stayed up for 2 extra days. How is it, my friends, that when they were up there, that motion did not decide to take a change and go in the opposite direction? Why is it that when you think of it, when a plane goes up, there are certain things that those pilots are counting on. They can't explain it, but they're counting on those things that they will be intact so that the laws of gravity will not hinder, but the laws of gravity are necessary. And there will not be a change at certain times. When that plane needs to come down, it will come down when they use certain mechanical means which will, in concert with the laws of gravity, move in such direction so that motion will go in the direction that's necessary for a safe landing. If the laws should ever be changed, do you know what I was told? That when that plane was coming out of orbit, if it should hit on an angle just a little bit different than is desired, it would be taken right back out of space forever and ever. God has put motion into existence. God has put the government of laws into existence so that when people, my friends, come upon the face of the earth, they will be able to see certain things, certain designs, certain order, and they will conclude from the God-given mind that a creator is responsible for creation. And when we get rid of a creator in a creation and begins to believe in evolution, we do not put the value on life. Life has no meaning apart from God. Francis Schaeffer was right when he put it this way, that what a nation thinks of itself will determine what a nation does with itself. And when a nation thinks that it has come upon the face of the scene by means of a process, an evolutionary process, then that nation will think of itself, my friends, not with any sense of value, but every man doing what every man wants to do. And so the conviction that is needed for a nation's happiness is, first of all, that there is providence in creation, and creation is being preserved by God who provides. But, my friends, a nation needs not only the conviction, it needs confidence. For a nation to exist, it needs confidence. For a nation to be happy. And our text gives us three reasons why a nation can be happy with its confidence. First of all, Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15. Confidence in divine interest. Listen to verse 13. The Lord who sits in heaven, who reigns in glory, this God looks down upon the earth. An amazing word. For God to look, my friends, because the word is used twice in our text, but they're not the same in explanation. In verse 13, when it says that the Lord looks down, the word literally is God caringly looks down upon the earth. God caringly looks down upon the earth. A nation can be happy, my friends, when it knows that behind all its activities is a divine interest, that God with care looks down and will provide for that nation, so that that nation will realize that the only way it can live with confidence is to know that God cares. If we have a nation, my friends, that has been given to us by evolution, nobody cares. Who is there to care? But a nation that has the confidence that it is not alone, that in spite of everything, listen to the psalmist in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies, even those who want to destroy me, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, in this will I be confident. There is no confidence in our nation today, friends. I make it a habit to listen to the news, to listen to politicians, to listen to philosophers. I read it. And we are going on and on hoping that somehow tomorrow will be better, not knowing if we have anyone to turn to tomorrow. A nation's happiness, my friends, depends upon its confidence and a confidence in a God who is interested in that nation. Divine intelligence. The Lord looks down, or the Lord watches, as the NIV says. The second way this word look is used is that God looks with an intelligence and a deliberation to give direction to the nation that looks to it. God looks, my friends, listen, so that when we as a nation bow our heads, bend our knees, and look to God for wisdom, He gives it. History teaches this. Up until the 1900s, almost every American institution was built upon a foundation based upon a belief in God. Great Britain, the laws of the land were formulated because there were godly men at the helm, realizing that there is one king above every other king. There's one law above every other law, and that law is the law of God. That king is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God to watch then, my friends, is for God to put things in order as they ought to be, so that when God gives direction, it is not haphazard directions He's giving. It is the wisest mind giving direction to that nation. Do you remember in the book of Jonah, Nineveh, that wicked city? God told Nineveh to go and to preach the gospel. And one might ask the question, can a gospel save a nation? Is there anything in this ancient book that can bring this nation to the place where it used to be? The Lord watches over the nation. In other words, the Lord gives the nation intelligent direction. God has never, nor can He, God has never had to change a decision because it was the wrong one. He's an all-wise God. And when He directs the nation, my friends, that nation can have confidence in the divine intelligence. And then thirdly, a nation will have confidence not only in the divine interest, in divine intelligence, but in divine influence. Listen to what the psalm says again, verse 15. It is He who fashions the hearts of men, or forms the hearts of men. I love that. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, Proverbs 21 and verse 1. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, as the water brooks are, and He turns it whithersoever He wills. Listen, friends, listen. For a nation to be happy, that nation must realize that unless it has the divine influence upon its heart, it can never be happy. It can be prosperous. It can possess things. But that can never provide for it the deep sense of satisfaction which God gives to a nation that trusts in Him. Listen, Kim Campbell, Prime Minister of Canada, is not the one who will bring prosperity to our nation. The leaders of the opposition parties cannot, friends. It is the Lord who moves the hearts of men in the direction those hearts are to go, so that that nation, when it is led by people who are influenced by God, that brings prosperity to a nation. That brings happiness to a nation. We need once again, as God's people, to so pray that God will move upon the hearts of our leaders, that they will be strangely moved to say and do things which ordinarily they would not do. We need someone, my friends, who will give themselves to pray that Queen's Park will not be able to provide laws which will provide abortion clinics across this province at the expense of taxpayers. We need people who will pray that God will move the hearts of our leaders toward righteousness again. For God forms the hearts of men. He formeth those thoughts. And when there is no one, my friends, in a creation, leaders have no one to look to but to themselves. And they do not realize that providence is working for the good of a nation. And they do not realize that prayer works for the good of a nation. And so if a nation is to be happy, it must have a conviction. It must have a conviction in the providence of God. That creation is not an accident. That creation did not come from nothing. It must have a conviction that there is a creator behind the creation. And that creator has a vital interest in what's going on in the nation from generation to generation. Secondly, if a nation is to be happy, my friends, it must portray its happiness. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Again, that word means blessed, happy. It means to truly have a sense of rejoicing, a sense of exhilaration. Righteousness exalts a nation, says the writer. Righteousness exalts it. Let's look at what it means to portray happiness. A nation portrays happiness by what it enjoys. A nation portrays happiness by what it enjoys. The word blessed comes from the root word, which means to be straight. That word straight in the Old Testament, my friends, means to be morally upright. To be level, not to be twisted. Not to think other than God would have us to, according to his word. And so a nation enjoys happiness when it is morally upright. Do you know, my friends, that the book of Jeremiah teaches that the day will come when the streets will not be safe for our children? In fact, they're not now. I tell my son again and again, don't go outside without your father or without your mother or without your sister. Before we teach our children to trust, we teach them to fear. We tell them what they're not supposed to do, where they're not supposed to go, who they're not supposed to talk with. We have some wonderful neighbors in the neighborhood where we just moved into. And the little girl was playing with my son Christopher yesterday. And the time came when she had to leave. Christopher wanted her to watch Beauty and the Beast with him. And the little girl said, I'm not allowed to go into any house. And it's right. No one can fault the parents for that. We are not a nation of happy people to enjoy anything because we are fearful of what will happen if we release our children on the street. A nation portrays its happiness by what it enjoys. And my friends, at the base of that word, blessed, it means to prosper. To prosper. Turn very quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Listen to these words. Written hundreds of years ago, yet as valid as tomorrow. Happy, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 33, happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies shall cringe before you. Happy are you, Israel. Why? Because God is on your side. Moral uprightness is the base, my friends, for a nation's happiness. And we're not a nation of happy people. We cannot brighten anyone's day because our own hearts are saddened as we think of what's going on. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 has a very potent verse. And it says this, when the upright or the righteous are in authority, the city rejoices. When the righteous are in authority, the same thing is true, Proverbs 11 and verse 10. You know, it's interesting, when the righteous are in authority, that word authority to you and to me in the English It sounds like someone who is ruling, but that's not what the word means. Listen to what it means. When the righteous increaseth, when there are righteous people in government, righteous people at the head of the corporations, when there are righteous people teaching, when there are righteous people behind the grocery stores, cash registers, when there are righteous people everywhere, the nation rejoices. A gentleman said to me last night as he was leaving the service, he said, I used to belong to the party that is now in power at Queen's Park, but no more. Talk to the civil servants and ask them if they're happy. Talk to the policeman and ask him if he's happy. Talk to the corporation boss and ask him if he's happy. You know, it's interesting, Dan, as I heard of IBM laying off 1,200 people and then some more, immediately my mind went on you. Will Dan be laid off? And others of this congregation who work for IBM? My friends, we're a nation of unhappy people because we don't know what's taking place. And so here we have then, a nation portrays its happiness by what it enjoys. A nation portrays its happiness, secondly, by what it expects. What it expects. Verse 18 says this, the Lord is near. I'm sorry, 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope. Who hope? Hope in the New Testament at all, my friends, means to live with expectation. To live that something good is going to happen tomorrow. To live with a sense that tomorrow will be better than today. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, because that nation has hope. It is able to live and is able to go through today because it expects something else tomorrow. Something better than today. And then lastly, a nation portrays its happiness by what it escapes. By what it is able to escape. Look again at verses 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their souls from death. A nation escapes destruction. I was thinking of that this morning. Isn't it interesting that one of the strongest nations upon the face of the earth was Russia? I am told by those who know that Russia had enough weapons to destroy the United States and North America over six times over. I find that almost humorous sometimes, you know. Once you get it once, what are you going to worry about? And yet, when that nation fell 2 years ago, not one bullet was used. Not one bullet. It destroyed itself. And dear friends, as we think of our 126th birthday, we are on the road of self-destruction. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom. But my friends, we have not been able to find a cure for AIDS. I looked in the Markham newspaper yesterday. One whole sheet. You can phone different numbers to find out if you can find someone with whom you'd like to spend some time with. And then at the very bottom, at the right-hand corner, those who prefer an alternate lifestyle in Markham. I was tempted to call. I really was. Not because I wanted to investigate. I wanted to investigate, not interest. And I wanted to say to them, but I'm not that stupid. I wanted to say to them, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A nation portrays its happiness by what it escapes. And the psalmist says that that nation is blessed who has the providence of God at the very center of its existence. who has the preservation of God in its mind, who has conviction about things, who have confidence in things, that nation will escape destruction. And I'm afraid, dear friends, that I'm not too sure that we are on that road to escape destruction. It shall also deliver us. We will escape famine. He will make us alive in famine. In other words, the psalmist is saying, blessed is the nation, happy is the nation who is under God, profiting from righteousness, who is able to put into mobility those things which can produce prosperity for that nation. It will escape destruction. It will escape famine. What does that mean? We have much in our country for which we are to give God thanks for. We're a blessed nation. But my friends, I shall never forget going down to the dome not too long ago with a friend. And this friend drove me around a certain part of downtown Toronto. And there were people lying on the sidewalk. That was their bed. And listen, I know that some of those people, my friends, have brought on some of these things on themselves, but not all of them. There are people who used to live very, very high, and everything, just the bottom has fallen out. We are told that food banks, the numbers have swollen so much that they don't have enough to feed, right in Markham. Now, I'm not saying that everyone that's there, my friends, need to be there. I don't know. But this much I know, that when we begin to look at certain proportion of our population looking for handouts, when we have to pass law to control panhandlers, that tells us, my friends, that there is a famine in the land. There's a need once again for people to have a sense of well-being. There's a need for people to once again look up and feel good about the nation in which they live, to feel good about the city in which they live, to feel good about the town in which they live. And the opposite is happening at this moment as I speak with you. I close with another psalm. We'll get to that perhaps in 1995 sometime. Psalm 89, verse 15. And I close with this. This is not so much a message to you as such as it is a message to the nation. What makes a nation happy? Conviction. Psalm 89, verse 15. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, joy. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they rejoice all day. And by thy righteousness they are exalted. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What's the nation's happiness? A nation's happiness, my friends, is moral values based upon the revelation of God and righteousness through the lives of God's people spreading everywhere, so that instead of a few people who are given to an alternate lifestyle controlling the system, you have people who are given to righteousness, influencing their world wherever they go. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. May God make Canada happy again. Let us pray. Our Father, many general statements were made this morning, but they were made on facts. Specific things that are happening that's eating at the foundation of this great nation. We have lost our sense to be happy. From Prime Minister down to the common man in the street, we can only be happy if we have certain things in our hands. We're not happy within ourselves anymore. We dedicated two little, beautiful little children this morning. and one wonders what the future of Canada will be for them. We pray that their parents will give to them those values from which true happiness really springs. We pray for the Prime Minister of our country, the leaders of the opposition parties. We pray, Father, that Canada will once again turn to that source which once it believed in, that source which once made it great. And as God's people, may we be able to spread sunshine around, brighten up where we are, because our happiness springs not from what we have, but from the one who has us. We ask it in Christ's name.